Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome into 20th and Blake here on the Mile High Sports Podcast Network. I am your host, Drew Kreisman, and as always, I'm excited to be talking Colorado Rockies baseball with you here on the show. And coming in at the end of the month after the Rockies have just wrapped up their short series in Mexico, I figured now would be a good time to take a big picture look, do our normal ups and downs things, but really talking about the entire season, taking stock of where we are at this point, how the future looks, and how things are setting up moving forward. So let's begin with the downs, and therefore begin with the biggest down of the season. And this is now multifaceted because, of course, it has been Nolan Jones. And that is really, 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 really unfortunate, right? Because he was the biggest bright spot of a year ago. I think a lot of people, including myself, had some high expectations for him coming into the season, with the caveat of, and I pointed this out several times, and I think most people who are being honest with themselves did, there was always the possibility of a sophomore slump. First of all, there are reasons that sophomore slumps happen in general, right? I've compared this before to Trevor Story, where in his second year, he was leading the league in strikeouts by a ton. He was batting under 200. He was a massive black hole in the lineup for the first couple of months of his sophomore season. Very similar to what we're seeing out of Nolan Jones now, right? That happens especially to players who have very high talent levels, who were extraordinary in their rookie seasons, who don't have a ton of lineup protection, and other teams are coming after them with their best stuff. The proverbial book is being written now on Nolan Jones, right? And so that's something normal. Lots of guys work through it. Many don't. We will keep an eye on that. I think you do have the added bit where, and other guys do this obviously as well, but Nolan Jones has admitted to being the type of player who can put a lot of extra pressure on himself. Basically had the worst spring training of anybody in baseball last year because he was trying so hard to make the team. He really did need that first month down in the minors, as much as some folks like to look back in hindsight and say, oh, the Rockies really screwed up by not having him there the whole year. And if they had, he would have won a gold glove and maybe rookie of the year, this, that, or the other. But they forget that, like, it's not always as simple and easy as that, right? Nolan Jones last year was really able to build himself a comfort zone of success against minor league pitching last year. Remember, at this time a year ago, he was still in the minors because he had been so bad in spring. Now, he was wrecking the minors, and people wanted to call him up immediately, the way a lot of people feel about Jordan Beck right now, and we'll get back to that in a minute. But I think it's worth remembering how quickly he rose, how intensely good he was for those 4 months, but also that there was, yes, I mean, the strikeouts were there. There was always the possibility this was going to come, and now it appears as though his back has been bothering him probably for a little bit longer than we've known publicly, and that's probably going to all of this as well. Will he need a longer stint on the IL, I should say? We'll learn about all that, and that could be where we get back into the Jordan Beck conversation. I want to talk about the farm a little bit at the end when we get to the ups, but ultimately here now, as ugly as it's been to watch, as tough as it is being a guy that you thought, well, you know, the Rockies are probably going to lose 100 games again, but at least we'll get to watch Nolan Jones maybe hit 30 to 40 bombs and steal 20 to 30 bases and maybe even be like a long shot type of MVP candidate this year, right? And you're like, okay, progress is not quite that linear. I am not I am absolutely not jumping off the Nolan Jones hype train because of a bad month. I'm just not, again, similar to Trevor Story, lots of other guys, even if it goes on for most of the year, there is still, first of all, an incredibly high floor with Nolan Jones because of his athletic ability. Because he's a guy who's 6'5", with elite speed, a cannon of an arm, right? Light tower power, none of that stuff goes away. And so his floor remains very, very high if he can just get back to the place where he's doing the technical, nuanced baseball things quite a bit better. And we've already talked a bit this year about how some of the process has actually been great. He's seeing a ton of pitches. He's largely, especially early in counts, not swinging at pitches outside the strike zone that much, which is weird because he's striking out so much. I'll dive into this maybe in writing, and I think the folks over at Purple Row, I can't remember which writer did it, actually broke down how many called third strikes Nolan Jones has seen on pitches outside the strike zone. Not to belabor a long-running point of mine, but I think his numbers this year would look quite a bit better. He'd have at least more walks and fewer strikeouts with a fairer strike zone. But in the grand scheme of that, none of that really actually matters, right? What matters the most is, can Nolan Jones turn this around? Would a short stint on the IL and or getting himself healthier, a mental break, a physical break, all of those things, kind of reassess, reevaluate, have the opportunity to maybe tweak the approach a little bit. Maybe he's being a little too patient. Maybe he needs to go up and look for a pitch earlier in the count that he can drive. There are some adjustments that he can make. But it's certainly now, you know, I think a lot of people looked at the strikeout numbers last year and predicted that he was going to come crashing down to earth, and some of those folks may be patting themselves on the back for being correct already, and it may end up turning out that way, that Nolan Jones was a one-year flash in the pan, lightning in a bottle, whatever those phrases are, but I don't think so. You know, is he going to be a perennial all-star candidate the way it looked like he might be? Maybe not that either. But there's a lot of room in here for this to go either way. We've got much, much more season left. And that's why I kind of pointed out. Remember, like a year ago, all of this would have been, you know, taking place in AAA. Now, obviously, the numbers are better, right? But you weren't getting any production out of Nolan Jones on the big league level a year ago at this time either. There's a lot of season left. We'll keep our eyes on that. A few other things that have been downs that, especially that I wasn't really necessarily expecting, right? We've talked enough about the Chris Bryant stuff. He's on the IL. I'm not rehashing any of that. The offense in general, right? Not hitting home runs, things like that. And obviously they're losing games, though, as you and I have talked about, you listener there, out there in the world, we've known that this wasn't going to be a season where the Rockies won a ton of games. In fact, I have been asked several times what would be a successful season for the Colorado Rockies this year. I've been asked this on radio and, you know, other places down at Mile High Sports. We've done a few things. And my answer has always been showing full commitment to the rebuild. Every move that I see from this team needs to make me feel like they're not panicking because of all of the losing and because of all of the bad press, and are going to try to just win a handful more games, because in the long run that hurts you, but it might make you feel a little bit better in the here and now, right? And so a couple of the offseason moves that I wasn't quite sure how they fit into that equation were Cal Quantrill and Dakota Hudson, who showed up and both immediately looked much better than anybody else in the rotation. Since they have both cooled off quite a bit, Quantrill's got the ERA plus at 89 and Hudson at 73. Hudson has walked 15 and struck out 16, or the other way around. I just lost his pick, but it's neck and neck, his walks and strikeouts. And when they acquired him, those of you who listen to the show regularly heard me go, I do not understand this one because of the walks. Almost exclusively because of the walks. You cannot give away that many free passes and be successful at Coors Field. I've got 30 years worth of data to show you. It doesn't work. But he started off, and I was like, well, this is interesting. Maybe they can get a half season of him where he gets lucky enough that those walks don't come around to really bite him. and maybe the Rockies flip him at the deadline. Whereas Quantrill, when he came in, I was much more interested and again, as a student of the history of this team, just excited to watch from a where does he fit on the spectrum from Aaron Cook to Ubaldo Jimenez, right? From Kyle Freeland to Armand Marquez. Can he be that Kyle Freeland, Aaron Cook style of pitcher, later years Jorge De La Rosa, who doesn't have the big strikeout stuff, but through his smarts and ability to get ground balls and just limit big damage, not give up a ton of homers, not give away the free passes. He's never been a big walk guy. Could he figure out a way to be successful here? And at first, I really, really liked what I saw. Actually, I still do. He's gotten knocked around a couple of times his last time out. Again, the first inning, for whatever reason, appears to be just an absolute nightmare for the Rockies. You know, I worry that Hudson's not going to recoup any value here, and he's just going to kind of be an okay to poor fourth or fifth starter on the team all year, and then he'll leave in the offseason for nothing. Quantrill, I could see still doing the thing where he either pitches well enough that somebody out there decides they want him at the deadline, or he pitches well enough that the Rockies decide that they can move it forward, come up with something in the offseason in arbitration to keep Quantrill around, and then, you know, build with him, even if you're considering him your fourth or fifth guy in the future, if you're really going to go out and shop for better pitching. Quantrill is absolutely a guy I could see being the fifth starter on a good Rockies team because he doesn't implode, even when things aren't going his way, at least not yet. But the hopes that, you know, these guys would have hot first halves and maybe the Rockies could flip them for something, right now the stock on that is down. Right now there's just, I don't think there's a team out there thinking, yeah, if we add either of those starters to our rotation or even throw them into our bullpen, we're really helping for a stretch run. So you need those guys to pitch better in the next couple of weeks if that is your hope that they get traded. Also on the down, unfortunately, is Ryan Feltner, who has had, you know, moments, absolutely moments. He had the big 10 strikeout game. He's got better swing and miss stuff than anybody else in the rotation. His ERA plus there at 84, though, he's struggling with some of the same stuff as the other guys. The big innings, especially early in games, giving up the home runs. You know, there's still hope there for him because he's a younger pitcher, for sure. But we're also getting to that point where you really need to start seeing it from Ryan Feltner if you think he can be a part of your future. I've always felt, that he might profile better in the long run out in the bullpen, because he does have such a good fastball-breaking ball combination, and I feel like his biggest issue has been consistency, even going back to the minors for him. So, you know, this year is really, I think, the year he's got to try to prove that he belongs as a starter, because if it doesn't work out, I still think you go, yeah, we can repurpose this guy and make him into a pretty darn good reliever if the Rockies feel like, you know, this next wave of pitching is going to arrive fairly soon, and or they go out and acquire some people. And then the last thing I have on the downs, the bullpen has been really bad this season. Particularly though, I am surprised by the lack of production out of Jake Bird and Tyler Kinley. Jake Bird is starting to remind me a lot of Carlos Estevez in the way that we saw, you know, when he was on. He could go out there and strike out the side. You know, he could do some really impressive stuff, but when he's off, he's walking guys on four pitches. He's putting the fastball right down the middle of the plate and giving up easy home runs, as easy as a home run can be in the big leagues. You know, he just hasn't had it yet this year as Jake Bird, 79 ERA plus. And Tyler Kinley has been absolutely terrible with a 37 ERA plus, a 13 raw ERA, 13.06. And, you know, that's just not something that I saw coming. Now, he did have big injury time off, missed a lot of time. So you've got rest, you've got health, you got whatever else. And, you know, I could still see Kinley absolutely riding the ship. But, man, that's really, really too bad. If you remember when Kinley went down before the surgery, he was one of the best relief pitchers in all of baseball. He was going on some absolutely ridiculous tears. And it's really too bad to see that right now he can't get it done. But 15 earned runs he's given up in just 10.1 innings pitched, and it's been rough. He's also walking guys, 10 walks. He's given up 4 homers. So right now, Tyler Kinley just doesn't have it, and that's a big old bummer because I think, again, he was somebody that I thought could be a big bright spot on this team, surprisingly, and then I thought, you know, hey, maybe he is, because a lot of teams need a fire-throwing reliever, you know, at the deadline, but obviously that's not really in the
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Parts right now. Okay, let's move into the medium category, or the meh, as I've begun to call it. Some guys that are doing just all right. And actually, I was tempted to put Austin Gomber in the ups. I felt like his most recent outing is a perfect example of why this is meh. Because on the one hand, he went 7 innings. And, you know, he keeps doing these things where there was the game where he had the bases loaded in the first and gave up a run and had thrown 42 pitches. But then that was all he gave up, and he managed to go 4 innings. So you're like, very, very impressive. But that first inning just drags it down, right? So this recent outing in Mexico, the 7 innings, but he gives up 3 homers. And so on the one hand, you're like, man, he really battled out there. And overall, in most of the at-bats, he won, right? He pitched well, but then you make those mistakes that really put the game out of reach. So on the year, he's at a 106 ERA plus, so he's been above league average. That's roughly where he's been since midway through last season. And overall, that's very good, right? I know, again, if people want to put a certain framing on it and be like, but that's the guy they got for Nolan Arenado. You want better than a league average pitcher. True, fair enough. And, you know, Alaurys Montero is also a part of that. But just stepping back and looking at what he's been, you know, especially compared to what he had been before that, we've seen a lot of improvement from Austin Gomber going back, like I said, to midway through last season. And Nick Mears has quietly been, again, okay. Fairly good. There was a minute there where he'd been really good. He absolutely piped one to Jerickson Profar on the that recent homestand and let him hit that big old home run. The Rockies came back and won that game. But other than that, Nick Mears has been pretty solid out of the bullpen quietly. And then both Tovar and Diaz have cooled off a bit, but both remain pretty good. Neither are giving you much in terms of slugging. But both Tovar and Diaz at 104 and 106 with the OPS pluses respectively, they've been slightly above league average. The batting average has really been there for Tovar when you compare it to where he was a year ago, sitting, you know, in the 70s and 80s most of the time. It's still a nice tick up for him. All right, let's go to some of your silver linings, the ups on the season. Of course, you know this one. These remain the same. The fact that Ryan McMahon and Brenton Doyle have been fantastic is really exciting for a number of reasons. One, you know, for Ryan McMahon, a lot of us have just been watching him for a long time. We've seen the ups and downs. If you kind of have followed and you see what kind of guy he is, the leader he wants to be on this team and has become, and that it just hasn't ever really fully settled in offensively. I think a lot of us are still holding our breaths, but I feel like we even saw a little bit of a cold stretch in there on the more recent homestand. He had a bunch of strikeouts. He wasn't doing that great. He did get a homer in there, and then he goes out, hits a home run in Mexico, and it feels like, well, if this is his cold stretch, it's a lot less cold than they used to be, and he's still sitting there with the 132 OPS plus, Got to be excited for Ryan McMahon. But of course, the most exciting thing on the team this year, and it's been long enough now, that Brenton Doyle's 134 OPS plus, it's real. It's a real thing. Now, I don't necessarily mean that you should expect it to stay there for the entirety of the season, but the guy's been the best offensive player on the team. He's leading the team in extra base hits. McMahon is the only guy with more homers at four. Doyle's got three. He's hitting .323, on-basing .368, and slugging .505. Now, he does have the 31 strikeouts on the year. The strikeout is still a part of his game. But, man, he has just been, at-bat to at-bat, a much, much better hitter this season in terms of how much contact he's making when he chooses to swing. Even with the strikeouts in there, he's still making much, much better contact. The quality of his contact, hard liners, hard ground balls the other way that he's got a high batting average on, ability to, if it gets past the first baseman a certain way, turn those into doubles. He's got four stolen bases on the year and has only been caught once. And that's something that I think is can still even be a bigger part of his game. But man, it's just, he's one of the most exciting players in all of baseball right now because of the quality that he's bringing you defensively, the quality that he's bringing you on the bases. And now that he's been this hitter for long enough, he really has just been the Rockies' best all-around player fairly comfortably, I would say, to this point in the 2024 campaign. And as much as I've been a big believer in Brenton Doyle, one of his bigger believers since before he even made his major league debut, when a lot of people really weren't talking about him. I remember, he was not a top 10 Rockies prospect before he debuted. Remember this, right? When people talk about the Rockies system now, or which guys, or, you know, did Zach Veen fall out of favor, and, or, you know, some of that. But Brenton Doyle was like 17th on a lot of Rockies prospect lists. And right now, he's the best player on the team. Every person in that clubhouse would tell you that. And that's pretty amazing. That said, don't sleep on the work right now being done by Jalen Beeks and Victor Vodnik. They are your huge bright spots out of the bullpen. Victor Vodnik, as we had talked about before, went through that stretch where he wasn't scored upon at all. Now he's at 17.1 innings. He has given up a few runs. Some of those walks have come back to bite him, but he's managed to keep it under control and get the strikeouts, limit the damage, and respond. I think learn a little bit from some of the times that he has been tagged up now. So he's still got the 1.85 ERA plus. That's way above the league average, and something that I think is a bright spot that the Rockies weren't even necessarily expecting. I think when they carried him out of spring, they fully expected they would be sending him down and back and forth throughout the year, but he just hasn't given them a good enough reason to see. He's been too good to send down. He's been their second best reliever comfortably. And, you know, yeah, he's still walking too many guys, but right now he's getting the results, and you couldn't justify sending him down. So it's been pretty cool to see that development out of Victor Vodnik. And then Jalen Beeks has been absolutely phenomenal. 14 innings pitched. He's given up three earned runs, one homer. He's only walked six. He's only struck out nine. So he's not, you know, really blowing guys away. But the ERA plus of 250 is absolutely phenomenal, especially because you're getting it out of a lefty. And so that's a guy who, again, I more or less expect to be a trade deadline guy, not because you wouldn't love to have a fantastic lefty reliever around, but on a team that's probably going to lose a bunch of games, you know, he's not on a long-term contract. That's exactly the type of player you can flip at the deadline and get something decent for him, in very similar fashion to the way the Rockies did out of Pierce Johnson or Brad Hand last year. But if he's putting up these kinds of numbers through the next month, you can do even better than that in terms of your return. So we'll keep an eye on that for Jalen Beeks. And the last bit of the up, as I mentioned earlier, that I did want to talk briefly about, because last time I did a whole breakdown on the prospects, but that really is the biggest, best news for the Rockies this season, is that the farm system has been churning out some remarkable performances from the top guys, particularly the pitchers Chase Dullinger, Sean Sullivan, and Carson Palmquist, all of whom who have been absolutely fantastic this season. Palmquist there in Double A being the closest has struck out 32 and walked 9 over his 22 innings pitched so far this season. Only given up 3 earned runs, 2 of them I think on a homer. So that 32-9 strikeout to walk ratio is ridiculous. And again, from a lefty starter. My goodness. Sean Sullivan, also a lefty starter. His strikeout to walk ratio, 23-1. 23-1. Absolutely phenomenal stuff. Chase Dolander, strikeout to walk ratio after 3 games pitched is 27-5. So, yeah, you've got really great stuff going on there on the minors. The other 2 things that I wanted to mention was because during that conversation, there were 2 of the top 15 that I said their stock probably isn't up. It's probably at holding still because their numbers were so weird. One of them was Adiel Amador, who continues to be absolutely strange. What he was doing last time, he is still doing. He's played 16 games. And his on-base is 375. So his WRC plus is 88, which isn't good, but it's certainly not terrible. But he's only batting 167. It's so strange. He's walked 16 times in 16 games with 9 hits. So that's a lot of being on base, but obviously, you know, he's not getting you any kind of slugging. No homers. He's got 1 double, no triples. So just isn't getting extra base hits right now. These are the telltale signs of a top prospect who's being pitched around in a league that suppresses offense. And you like that he's taking his walks at 22% of his plate appearances right now. That's a pretty good skill to have as a 21-year-old. So, you know, obviously at some point you want to see the batting average come up. You want to see the hits start to come. But you got to take what the pitchers are giving you. And if the pitchers aren't pitching to you, take your walks. You'll eventually figure it out down there. The other guy, though, that I really did want to mention, because I was saying if there was anybody in the top 10 that you could say was off to a down to start the year, it was catcher Drew Romo. And friends, he has gotten blisteringly hot since the last time I mentioned that. Now, his ERA plus, or sorry, ERA, first of all, he's a catcher, not a pitcher. And second of all, it's WRC plus for hitters down there, is 91. So that's still below the league average. Now, remember that the PCL has an extraordinarily high average. But also, that's coming from 2 places. One, he's not slugging a ton. Still no home runs on the season. Only 7 doubles. 1 triple. He can run pretty well for a catcher. But not a ton of slugging right now. And almost no walks. He's walked once and struck out 18 times. So you're not getting a good walk. It's the opposite of what Amador has been doing, right? However, friends, Drew Romo, the switch-hitting catcher whose calling card is his extraordinary defense, is hitting 329. Now, yes, in the PCL, it gives up a little more. You're going to get cheaper hits, but he's making good contact. He's putting the ball in play. He's getting his base hits. So while, you know, some numbers you might look at and say, yeah, you'd like to see a little more slugging there. Yeah, the WRC plus isn't loving him yet. A guy who's hitting 330 isn't eating it at the plate. He's just not in any level at any league ever, especially when, you know, offense is the part of his game we expect to be a little bit further behind at this point. In a similar way to, you know, Brenton Doyle's offense was behind his glove and base running and all of that. Same thing with Drew Romo. The scouting report has always been his offense is a bit behind his defense. But if he can hit 330 in 20 games at AAA right now, that's going to pop some eyes open for your 22-year-old catching prospect. And everybody else in the top 15 is just continuing to do well. So, yeah, I know the big league club has been tough to watch. I highly, highly recommend checking out some minor league games this season because these guys have been a lot of fun and some of them are on their way quite a bit more quickly than even I expected. Some of these pitchers, really that is the best news down on the farm, as much as it's fun to get excited about big offensive numbers from guys like Jordan Beck, who maybe is getting called up as I'm recording this. We'll come back and check on that. Or guys like, you know, Veen doing just crazy things this year. It's like they really are going to need Dolander, Sullivan, Palmquist, a few more of those guys to add into the system in order to turn this thing around. But they can. That's exactly how you do it. They've done it before. So, yeah, I highly recommend checking out some minor league baseball this season. Other than that, I can only ever thank you all for listening into this episode and hanging out with Mile High Sports on YouTube and Instagram, TikTok and Twitter and all that good stuff. And continuing to be absolutely awesome out there. You know that I will continue to be absolutely Drew Kreisman in here. And until next time, I will see you at the ballpark.